Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. It's our joy to be with you once again on the radio, and I think with this episode we complete 8 years on the radio. That's a long time. I think we haven't left much left to be said, you know. But I suppose we can repeat things. If you've been listening all along, we might repeat some things we've said before. But I hope you'll forgive us for that. We're going to be talking today about a saint that I'm pretty sure we haven't talked about before, and that's Saint Paramon. And we're going to talk about Saint Andrew, the first called apostle, whose name day is tomorrow. And we look forward to joining you and sharing this with you today.
Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace to you from God our Father
Lovely song, actually the first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, which is sung to us by Fernando Ortega. He is so creative in the way he puts scripture to music. Grace and peace to you. So we wish you grace and peace, and a special shout out today to a dear friend of mine named Tina. May God bless her and keep her and grant her grace and peace today. We are enjoying our beautiful summery weather here in Auckland. I had the opportunity to go swimming today in the ocean, and strangely enough, I wasn't the only one. It was cold. The water was cold, but many people were out there enjoying the sunny weather, and it made all the difference. And it is so beautiful to enjoy the beautiful gifts of God, and certainly the weather and the ocean are among them. We're going to read to you now. I want to share with you from a book we've often shared with you in this program called The Prologue from Ohrid. And this book that is in my hands was published in 1986 by Lazarica Press in Birmingham, Alabama, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Birmingham of Great Britain. So, and this beautiful book is in English. There is, in this particular edition, there were four volumes covering the 12 months of the year. And each of the days of the month, some saint in the church is being honored. Today, on the 29th of November, we honor the holy martyr Paramon and the 370 others with him. Now, this story is kind of gripping. It's a short one, but I want you to, if you can listen carefully. In Asian Bithynia, the governor Aquilinus was ferociously persecuting Christians. This isn't, I don't know what year this is, but in the 3rd century, I believe. He once seized 370 Christians and took them with him in bonds to some place where there was a temple to the god Poseidon. Here, the wicked governor tried to force them to offer sacrifice to idols. Although he threatened with death any who refused to obey his command, not a single one of the Christians submitted to it. At that time, there passed along the road, running beside the temple, a respected man called Paramon. He stopped beside the group of bound men and learned what was happening, and then cried out, "Oh, how many innocent and righteous men does this foul governor desire to slaughter, because they will not bow down to his dumb and dead idols." Paramon then continued on his way, and the furious governor sent servants to kill him. They caught up with him and seized him, first piercing his tongue with a thorn and then stripping him and stabbing him all over. Holy Paramon, with prayer in his heart, gave his soul into God's hands. After that, these 370 martyrs, great sons of God and innocent lambs, were beheaded with the sword and thus entered into the immortal kingdom of Christ the Lord. They suffered in the year 250. And isn't that interesting that the 370, we don't know their names, but we know this Paramon who happened to be passing by. And I don't know why that is. Why does the church focus on Saint Paramon more than the 370? But I would guess, and it's just a guess on my part, that he was a person of nobility or a person of respectability and acceptance in the society of his time. And Christians, of course, were often characterized as, I don't know, sorry to put it that way, low life, or the people who didn't deserve any respect in this world because they were believing in things that don't exist. And so Paramon, though, we don't even know from the story if he was even a Christian before. But he saw what was happening. He saw the injustice. And he realized that this was an injustice that had been going on for some time. And perhaps he was even a secret Christian. I mean, in other words, that he hadn't even officially confessed it to be baptized. We don't know. The story doesn't tell us that detail. But that's my presumption. And then he sees this injustice and he speaks out against it. And just by speaking out against the injustice, he has to surrender his life for Christ. And if his conversion, even if it was secret, it was not real, how could he have withstood all those horrible tortures? But he was able because he knew that God was with him.
Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. The meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Pleasing
Think on these things. Whatever is good, whatever is wonderful, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, the things of God, in other words, the things that are touched by His grace. So we're trying to do that with this radio program every Friday when we get together from 3:15 to 3:45 in the Narthex, is the name we gave it eight years ago, and we're still trudging on. I wanted to share with you another short story of the life of a saint. And this saint has the most unlikely story of any story you could hear. His name was Tiridates. He was the king of Armenia. And he was contemporary of Diocletian, so that would have been the late 3rd, early 4th century. He at first persecuted Christians with great ferocity. Let me just interrupt my own self and read this passage. King Tiridates, a persecutor of Christians, threw St. Gregory of Armenia into a deep pit and killed 37 holy nuns. And he went unpunished. So this leader of the Armenian people, he so much didn't want to have Christianity put its roots into Armenia that he threw St. Gregory, who was called, is later called the Illuminator of the Armenians, into a deep pit, I'm sure full of all kinds of, who knows, defiling things and snakes and who knows, refuse or sewage or who knows what. But anyway, he was there suffering and he killed 37 holy nuns. And that's not a little thing. God's most precious people are those people who give themselves their whole life to Christ, even in this life, you know, not even martyrs, but martyrs. They call it, there's the red martyrdom, the martyrdom of blood, and white martyrdom, the martyrdom of self-offering, which is the life of the nun. Later, when this king, Tiridates, and his entourage had gone hunting for pleasure, madness suddenly fell on him. The reason for his madness and the means of restoring him to sanity were revealed to his devout sister in a dream. So his sister, her brother was so virulent against Christianity, had already come to believe in Christ. And so here he is on a hunting trip, and he's struck with madness. And so his sister said, St. Gregory is going to heal him. So St. Gregory had been in the pit for 11 or 12 years, I've forgotten. And they take him out of the pit, and they bring him to King Tiridates. And he prays over him. He heals him. And King Tiridates repents of his evil and receives baptism and becomes a follower of Christ, if you can imagine that, after having killed 37 nuns and having thrown the holiest man that Armenia has ever seen into a pit for 12 years. God had mercy on him. And so those are just stories from the lives of the saints. And we in the Orthodox Church, we like to read those stories because they give us a lot to think about, and they also help to keep us on the right track and to keep us knowing, as an example, this story about Tiridates, that God desires our repentance, even if we do crazy things. You know, I'm blessed lately to be visiting a prison in New Zealand. I won't say where because I think I'm supposed to keep that confidential. And I have found the prisoners to be very receptive to talking about Christ. And we might think, well, all those people are the lowest of the low. They've done the evilest things you can imagine, which is true. They've done evil things. I don't want to say they're lowest of the low because I'm not the judge, but they've done evil things, yes. So why are you speaking to them in any positive way, Father Paul? They deserve their punishment. Well, I'm speaking to them in a positive way because I see how their souls, through the suffering of the prison, and you may say, well, what suffering is it? They had 3 square meals and they have, you know, whatever. But there is suffering there, a tremendous amount of suffering, isolation, and anyway, many, many things I don't want to discuss on the radio, maybe at some other time. And they endure that suffering, and God is continuously reaching out to them and calling them to repentance. And some of them are able to do it. Some of them change. In my experience, and it's limited, I would say the majority repent. And that's a very powerful thing. So, King Tiridates, pray, please, for those who are imprisoned and keep them in God's care.
Is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Listening to this song, but I wanted to just interrupt it to say Happy Thanksgiving to those who are listening from the United States. We wish them happiness and joy as they gather with family.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today.
I would love to keep playing this song, but I have something else I want to tell you, and that is about tomorrow's celebration, which is the feast of the Holy Apostle Andrew, the first called apostle. And he is honored every year on the 30th of November, tomorrow at our church. At 8 o'clock, we'll begin an Orthros or Matin service. At 9 o'clock, the Divine Liturgy to honor this important saint and apostle of Christ. This past July, my presbyter and I were blessed to be part of a program called Ionian Village, which is a summer camp program for children from the United States, primarily. And we visited many holy sites in Greece, and one of the places we visited was the beautiful church of St. Andrew the Apostle in Patras, Greece. All I can tell you is it's a gorgeous, gorgeous church. But more than its gorgeousness, which is outstanding, I think it's considered the largest church in Greece at present, is the deep sense of humble presence of the saint when you enter it. As grand as the church is, you feel you're in the most humble place. I don't know how to tell you that other than to use those words. I can't find other words to say it. You enter into that church, and instead of feeling awestruck by the beauty of the place, you feel humbled. And you want to run or crawl or walk with deep reverence toward the relics of St. Andrew. And what relic do they have there? Not just any old relic. I mean, all the relics are holy. But they have the very skull of the apostle. And it's a skull that's been... It has a lineage. In other words, we can trace it all the way back to the time of the early church. It was always in the care of the Christians. It never left the care of the Christian community. And there it is in St. Andrew's Church in Patras. And here we were with these young people from America and other places, and venerating this skull in just a humble way, going up the steps to the reliquary there and bowing our heads and kissing the skull and being kissed by the saint, feeling his love coming to us. And what a great saint indeed. I mean, he's called the first called because he's the one who said to his brother Peter, "Hey, let's go meet Jesus." So that's how Peter became the foremost of the disciples. He was through his brother Andrew. And after the descent of the Holy Spirit, it was his job to go and preach in what is called Thrace and Byzantium. And there are hundreds of saints who have come from Thrace and Byzantium. Hundreds and hundreds. And then, of course, from there, missionaries went out all over the world to bring more people to Christ. So St. Andrew was the first called, but it continues to call others. And in the Constantinople on the 30th, Istanbul, known in the world as Istanbul, there will be a wonderful service at the Patriarchate to honor St. Andrew, the first called apostle, who is also considered the patron saint of the Church of Constantinople. So we have great, great love for him. And here in New Zealand, he's the patron saint of our archdiocese, our metropolis, the sacred archdiocese of New Zealand, Greek Orthodox Archdiocese. And what can I tell you? You know, this, when you hear the story of his death, St. Andrew was killed on an X-shaped cross. He had been doing such a great job preaching, and they nailed him to the cross. And there were many people who were begging the political leader in Patras, please take him down from the cross. Please don't let him die. Please, he's such a blessing to us. And something happened that this leader thought, oh, maybe I made a mistake. I don't think that he cared about St. Andrew, but I think he was concerned about the public opinion. And he thought to make a motion to take St. Andrew down. And St. Andrew said, no, leave me here. Let me die for Christ. And he died shortly after. I mean, just minutes after that, he gave up his soul. And what an amazing thing! His soul, of course, departed to the heavens, but he never left Patras. Spiritually speaking, he's still present there. And you feel it wherever you walk in that great city. It's not a huge city, but it's amazing, a palpable presence of that great saint. So if you happen to be free tomorrow and you want to join us, we would love to see you as we honor that great saint of the church, St. Andrew the Apostle.
praise of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morning, praise, rejoice, ye lights of evening, find a voice, oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
To share with you something from the writing of Saint Paisios of Mount Athos, relative to what we've been saying today. This is on a passage he wrote on holiness from his epistles, from the book Elder Paisios of Mount Athos Epistles, Holy Monastery, Evangelist John the Theologian from Souroti, Thessaloniki, Greece, just recently published, but after his death, of course, in 2002 it was published. Approximately 15 years before his canonization. From the fire of temptations, the saints have acquired holiness. And he means here trials and testings and spiritual experience. Experience they have left to us so as to be guarded from the cunnings of the manslayer. From their great struggles and victories against the passions of the saints have received crowns of victory from Christ together with abundant grace. Now from heaven they help us through their intercessions, and we owe them much gratitude and devotion. He who honors the saints undoubtedly honors even more the All-Holy Theotokos, the Mother of our Lord. Moreover, the person who honors the All-Holy One, the Theotokos, naturally honors the All-Holy Trinity even more. The saints, unlike us, do not misunderstand if we venerate a lesser-known saint more than a very popular one, like Saint Paramon, perhaps, versus Saint Andrew. Saints, of course, have human holiness and not the divine perfection which Christ has. Oh, hold on. Let's read that again. Unlike us, they do not misunderstand if we venerate a lesser-known saint more than a very popular one, because they do not have human smallness. Saints, of course, have human holiness and not the divine perfection which Christ has. Therefore, we should not be scandalized if we see some minor imperfection among the saints' many virtues. Neither should we take as an example an imperfection they had at the outset of their spiritual journey, thereby justifying our weaknesses. At the beginning of their spiritual education, God trained them by withdrawing his grace for a time, that they might come to know their human weakness, be humbled and receive divine grace redoubled, and so that we would also have them as examples. So he's saying to us, look, we don't honor the saints because they're perfect. We honor the saints because they endured and they had patience and they leaned on Christ, and Christ, through the Holy Spirit, perfected them. So they may have had mistakes and sins and what have you, but they rose above them, always being transformed and then transfigured by Christ. Well, we've come to the end of our program, and thank you very much for listening. God bless you, and hope to be with you again next Friday.
Summer and winter and springtime and